Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. John's first epistle letter, the third chapter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Please be seated. This morning, we name our dead before the Lord. All those here at St. Timothy who have died since last All Saints' Day. Some of these people you loved much, or maybe not so much. Maybe they were your friend or your foe, mother or father, and most sadly, many unborn children we never got to greet in the name of the Lord. Maybe you don't know any of the names listed in the bulletin this morning, and it doesn't really matter if you recognize those names. What matters is Jesus knows them. He came and he died for each one of them and for you too, so that they may be called his blessed saints. The purpose of All Saints' Day is not to worship the saints. Lutheran Christians, as you know, we neither worship nor pray to the saints who have gone before us. Scripture is clear, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. We remember these saints who have passed on to glory because of their faithful witness to the true faith. That is their witness in Christ Jesus, the one and only Savior that the world will ever know. We remember these folks who have taught us the Christian faith, who placed God's word in your hands and read each verse with you, held the hymnal for you as you memorized the liturgy since you were just a little one. We recognize these faithful ones who even drug us screaming on Sunday mornings to church when we would rather slept late. Blessed are all those saints. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus sits down on a mountain to teach his saints of all times in what is known as his Sermon on the Mount. And he opens this sermon proclaiming 9 life-saving truths that are transformational. These truths that the gifts the Son of God graciously gives to all of his disciples, he gives to saints of all ages, beginning by saying, "Blessed are you." You see, the Beatitudes don't describe what saints could be, but they describe what a saint already is. First, they are poor in spirit. These saints acknowledge their sinfulness. They know that they have complete dependence. They must have complete dependence on the mercy of God for their salvation. And this produces the second condition, those who mourn. These folks are contrite. They grieve over the wickedness of their sin before God. The third are the meek. They are not proud or haughty, but they're humble, knowing that they need deliverance. This leads way to the fourth blessing, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they know their true spiritual condition. They desire God's righteousness. They desire his salvation. Now, the fifth blessing brings a shift from the negative to the positive spiritual condition. The merciful, a saint who truly appreciates God's blessings, will give mercifully and blessedly to others. The next are the pure in heart. That's not the outward appearance of keeping God's law, but a clean heart within you from impure lusts and desires. The seventh beatitude is the virtue of peacemaker. Christian peacemakers live at peace with all people, regardless of the circumstances, leaving the retribution up to God. Now, the eighth blessing, which flows from the seventh, doesn't really sound like a blessing at all. Just as the saint is a peacemaker, his future will be filled with persecution. Persecuted for possessing the righteousness of Christ. And finally, the last beatitude, much like the eighth, is a more blessing of persecution, slander, malicious lies, all on account of your faith in Christ Jesus. Those are Jesus' promises for you. So how well do these beatitudes describe you? Or does the Holy Spirit hold up a mirror of the law, exposing you to the depth of your condemnation for your sin? Instead of being poor in the Spirit, mourning in contrition and repentance before your Creator, most likely you are like your pastor. I tend to stand firm and smug in my unrighteousness. Many of us don't believe every day that there is eternal damnation and there is hell for sinners such as you and I. You don't believe that you need deliverance. You think that you can deliver yourself. You neither hunger nor thirst for God's righteousness and his salvation because you don't appreciate the price that was paid for Jesus' life. Purity of heart. God sees right through your unforgiving, self-righteous, and judgmental heart. The bottom line is, apart from Christ Jesus, you and I are no saint. And you're not alone. You're in the company of those who have gone before. All those saints. At Jesus' crucifixion, his trial and crucifixion, his disciples fled him, rejected him. St. Peter rejected him 3 times, as recorded in Scripture. And Thomas wouldn't believe that Jesus was risen from the dead until he actually placed his hands in Jesus' wounds. And that's just to name a few. You see, the Beatitudes are not a checklist to see how righteous you are. There is only one who is righteous in himself. There is only one who ever deserved the favor of God, and there is only one who ever earned the right to be called saint, and that is the one, Jesus Christ. You see, the Beatitudes are a description of the incarnate Jesus leading up to his death and resurrection. Understanding the depth of mankind's sin and need of God's mercy, Jesus left the glory of heaven, putting on the flesh of man. He was meek, unassuming, not attractive. He hungered and thirsted for the righteousness of all mankind, showing mercy to those he sought out to seek. And save the lost. In his purity and love for all mankind, he was the peacemaker between all mankind and God, reconciling you back together. During his reconciliation, he kept all God's laws perfectly, endured all God's wrath against your sins, your sin of not hungering and thirsting for his righteousness, your sin of being self-righteous and judgmental. Yet by the grace of God, for the sake of Jesus, God declares you his saint. In our second reading this morning, St. John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are, and so you are." In holy baptism, our Lord God poured out his rich love and mercy upon you, naming you as his own child and making you an heir of all his precious gifts. At the font, your sinful, filthy robe was washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away all sins. There you were united with Christ, receiving all of his gifts, receiving all that is his, meaning you are Jesus' true saints, and you too are blessed. Remember earlier I said that in this context, the word blessed does not describe what the saint could be, but what the saint already is. Because through Jesus' death and resurrection, he gives you his blessedness. He gives you his righteousness. Therefore, you are his saints. Blessed are you, for Jesus has satisfied the debt of your sin. As you daily cry out to God in repentance, he satisfies you in his words of forgiveness. Jesus is the bread of life. He satisfies your every daily need. And on the last day, Jesus came for you so that you might be saved. And now on the last day, you will receive abundant mercy in all of its fullness on that day when you finally meet him face to face. Now, all of these wonderful blessings don't guarantee you that you will live an abundant life free from pain and suffering, because we still live in the church militant, where Jesus says you will have suffering, you will have trials and tribulations. Jesus promises these things will come, and that's what the elder was referring to in our first reading this morning when he said, when he spoke of the great multitude standing before the throne of God and of the Lamb. He said, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. That was the third time you heard that verse this morning. Actually, I've repeated it a couple times, so you heard it even more than that. But it's to prepare you for the persecution to come, so that when persecution comes, you hold fast to your baptismal promises. You hold fast to the promises that Jesus has made you, has given you as his blessed saint, that yours is the kingdom. You shall be comforted. You shall be satisfied, and you shall receive his mercy. St. John goes on, beloved, you are God's children now, and what you will be has not yet appeared, but you know that when he appears, you shall be like him, because you shall see him as he is. Of course, we look forward to joining those saints that have gone before, but that is all according to God's time. In the meanwhile, we are here in the church militant. We mourn those who have transferred their membership to the church triumphant in heaven. This morning, we have every confidence they are standing before the throne of God and of the Lamb, spending eternity in his presence. In the meantime, we heed the words of the psalmist. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. We wait for the Lord and live lives that our Lord God has called us to live. Living lives as his blessed saints, bearing the fruits of faith in an evil and unbelieving world. Having a contrite heart and repenting of your sins. Living meek and humble, hungering and thirsting for word and sacrament. And showing mercy toward others, not only towards those who are merciful toward you, but as Jesus was, merciful to all mankind. Living with a pure heart that is free from the lust and the desires of the world. Fleeing from all unrighteousness. Because just as God used those saints who have gone before as an example and helper to you, He uses your faith and your example to minister to others whom you come in contact in your daily vocation. As we prayed in our collect of the day, Lord, grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living. Blessed are you, for God's word is clear. Those on earth who are in Christ Jesus are his saints, and you are just as blessed as those who have gone before. We just don't see it as clearly as they do up in heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven, even though you don't have it in full measure or full experience at this point. And although you and I don't live up to the traits described in the Beatitudes, Jesus does, and for his sake, you are his blessed saint. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.